whispering, yelling, cackling, or buzzing. These are all things people who hear voices might hear. It's like a soundtrack to your life, except you can't turn down the volume.
Filthy-minded. Are you looking?
Vertebrates is a certified peer specialist and voice hearer in Bridgeport, Pennsylvania. These aren't the voices she hears. She doesn't want to recreate those. But she did say that hers are not very nice.
One of the most common things that they say is, "You belong in flames. Stab the eyes and slash the arms. Crash the car. All that you touch is tainted."
Brits hid her voices for a long time, spending years in and out of hospitals trying to cope. According to Mark Salzer, a psychologist at Temple University, people who tell their doctors that they hear voices might be told to ignore them, or have their medications upped, or even be told to wear headphones to drown the voices out.
Usually people aren't encouraged to participate in the community, to go to work or go to school or do anything until these symptoms are under control. From a medical model perspective, there's no way you could possibly do anything in your life while you're still hearing voices. So we need to, you know, medicate.
So the World Hearing Voices movement, which reframes how people think about their voices, has been life-changing for people like Brits.
They teach that it's important to accept your voices as your own, take responsibility for them, and then make sense of them. And it's the making sense of them that's really the most liberating, so that I can really feel that I'm in charge of my own life.
Brits and others in the movement challenge the prevailing medical wisdom that what the voices say isn't important, or worse, that it's dangerous to talk about them.
One of the things I was taught when I was a mental health nurse was that I wasn't to talk to people about their voices, that somehow it would be bad, horrible things would happen to the person, and that the best thing I should do was distract the person.
That's Karen Taylor, a mental health nurse from the UK. She and her husband, Ron Coleman, run Working to Recovery, which works on the same principles as the World Hearing Voices movement. They use something called a voices profile to get people to open up and describe their voices. Through this process, they often find that the voices aren't random. They can be a link to past trauma. Coleman traces some of his own voices to phrases uttered by an abuser from his past, a Catholic priest.
For people like me who are survivors of sexual abuse, I've never had a pill that took that away.
Not everyone who hears voices can connect them to some experience from their life, but Taylor and Coleman believe about 70% can. For those people, talking about the voices helps deal with the root cause instead of medicating it or sweeping it under the rug. And that awareness of trauma is an important shift, says psychologist Mark Salzer.
When we think of violence and mental illness, we think about people with serious mental illness as being perpetrators of violence, when in fact it's entirely the opposite, that individuals with serious mental illnesses are something like 7 to 10 times more likely to be victims of abuse.
Salzer says that this movement gets away from thinking about voices as a problem and helps people focus on quality of life, which might mean living with your voices, like Berta Brits does with hers.
I tell them that I really want to listen to them for 20 or 30 minutes at night, and to please let me focus and be present with people during the day.
Since she joined the World Hearing Voices movement 7 years ago, she's trained her voices to talk differently to her.
So now I have one who will sometimes tell a joke, sometimes give me support.
There are now Hearing Voices movements in 20 countries across the world. For The Pulse, I'm Laura Benchoff.